It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good Friday afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. Hard to believe, but there is snow in that forecast this Mother's Day weekend. Sorry, Mom. Meteorologist Kevin Williams calling for a couple inches tonight and tomorrow on the higher hilltops of the I-81 corridor.
The calendar says May, but the weather map says March. And that March wind is going to be a factor into your Mother's Day weekend, carrying unreasonable chill, flurries, even a couple of snow squalls into the area for the weekend.
Kev says daytime highs tomorrow will be hard-pressed to make it out of the 30s. His full forecast is yours coming up. April showers brought a flood of job losses as America reels from the coronavirus pandemic. The Labor Department's monthly jobs report went public this morning, and as expected, it was record-breaking.
A catastrophic number, 20.5 million Americans unemployed in the month of April. The unemployment rate is at 14.7%.
Business analyst Jill Schlesinger says the jobs report tells a tale of unemployment not heard since the Great Depression.
When you think about it, this is 25 times worse than any single month that we saw in the Great Recession, 10 times worse than the worst month on record, which was right after World War II.
But President Trump is confident these jobs will come back.
Those jobs will all be back, and they'll be back very soon. And next year, we're going to have a phenomenal year. People are ready to go.
The president speaking to Fox News earlier today. Pennsylvania is open for business today, at least partially. 24 counties in the northwestern and north central part of the state moved from the red to yellow phase on Governor Wolf's color-coded COVID-19 comeback plan.
We finally made it to the moment of starting to reopen our Commonwealth, and it has been a tough time for everyone. Your actions will guide our future.
Under the yellow phase, stay-at-home orders will be lifted, though social distancing guidelines remain in place.
The yellow phase recognizes that outbreaks of COVID-19 are still possible. And operations that cannot allow for social distancing must remain closed.
Child care centers and some retailers can reopen, and gatherings of up to 25 will be allowed.
Pennsylvanians living in a county that is entering the yellow phase should continue to do things like social distancing that will allow them to move forward into the green phase, not backwards into the red phase.
Restaurants will still be limited to takeout only. Schools are closed, along with gyms, salons, and theaters. Chuck Steiniger runs a business in Snyder County.
I think this is an opportunity to let the businesses show that we can handle this. We built business, and we want safety, but we also want our business to be there.
Governor Wolf announcing last night that those counties in the red zone, that would be the Pittsburgh and Philadelphia areas, they will remain closed until June 4th at the earliest. Case closed. The Justice Department has dropped its four-year investigation into General Michael Flynn, the FBI's whipping boy in the now-debunked Russia collusion story. Attorney General William Barr says Flynn got a raw deal.
I feel good about the decision because that's what we're here to do. We're here to do what's right.
Barr says he hopes the Flynn case sends the message that there is one standard of justice in this country for everyone. President Trump says James Comey's FBI and those who try to entrap the general are, in his words, guilty of treason.
He was targeted by the Obama administration, and he was targeted in order to try and take down a president.
Correspondent Greg Clugston.
The president welcomed news that Flynn would not be prosecuted in the Russia investigation.
He was an innocent man. He is a great gentleman.
Mr. Trump also accused the Obama administration-era Justice Department of targeting Flynn.
What they've done is a disgrace, and I hope a big price is going to be paid.
And the president also accused some in the media of being totally guilty. Greg Clugston, Washington.
A chilling viral video and growing nationwide outrage has resulted in the arrests of two Georgia men who fatally shot a black jogger more than 2 months ago.
The Georgia Bureau of Investigation says in a statement that murder charges have been filed against the white father and son, 64-year-old Gregory McMichael and 34-year-old Travis McMichael. The father is a former cop. The arrests come as the video has gone viral. Video showing an unarmed black man, Ahmaud Arbery, jogging through a residential stretch when he was confronted and shot dead.
Mark Strassman reporting. Faith under fire in the state of Washington. Governor Jay Inslee has banned religious gatherings of just two people outside.
Our plaintiff in the case, he simply wants to meet with one other person for Bible study outdoors at his house and 15 feet away from one another. Yet that is a crime in the state of Washington.
That's Kelly Shackelford with the First Liberty Institute.
Two people can go play golf, but two people can't talk about the Bible. You can't do that in this country.
Shackelford arguing the case for religious liberty before a federal judge today. Sports fans are ready for the games to begin, even if they're closed to the public. A new ESPN poll shows 65% of us would still watch sports, even without fans in the stands. 67% say sports is a great way to feel normal again during this ongoing pandemic. Still to come on the Noon Report for a Friday, eviction extensions. The Southern Tier says it's ready to reopen, and the Air Force flyover in Western New York.
Well, very good afternoon to all. It's not news I'm enjoying sharing, but it looks like some winter-like weather as we head into your Mother's Day weekend. I'll be back with forecast details. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
All right, Kevin. We'll see you then. Check in the headlines from New York and Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania business owners are eager to get going again. At midnight last night, 24 counties got the green light from the governor to move from the red to yellow phase on his color-coded comeback plan.
This is just a great opportunity for the district to go ahead and prove to the state that we're ready.
That's Northern Tier Representative Clint Owlett. He says retailers in his district will be the first to test out the governor's recovery plan. Owlett urging customers not to complain about wearing masks or practicing social distancing.
Do your best to follow the guidelines that are in place. Don't give the retail shops that are going to be opening up, don't give them a hard time. They're doing everything they can. They've had a rough go the last 2 months.
Don Ferraro runs a car dealership in the Northern Tier. He talks about how business will get done in his shop.
We're respecting the governor's orders that they don't want us to just open the showrooms and have people freely come in and out. But you call us or any of the other car dealers and make an appointment and come in, mainly to control the volume of people coming in at any one time.
The yellow phase means gatherings of 25 or more people are still off limits. Gyms, salons, and movie theaters are also closed. If you're planning on going camping at a public campground in New York this upcoming Memorial Day weekend, well, think again. New York State-operated campgrounds are closed until at least June 1st. The New York Department of Environmental Conservation says those who've already paid for their reservations can get full refunds. Both Pennsylvania and New York are extending the time that you have to pay the rent in the age of COVID-19. Governor Wolf signing an executive order that gives tenants until July 10th to settle with their landlords. His attorney general is Josh Shapiro.
The key here is making sure that an eviction cannot happen not only during this crisis, but in the weeks and months thereafter.
And in New York State, Governor Cuomo's instituted new protections for renters as well. They have until August 20th to pay that rent.
The governor also says the state will ban late fees and missed payment fees during the eviction moratorium period. Now, people who rent will also be able to use their security deposit as a payment and repay that deposit fee over time. New York on pause is set to expire on May 15th when the first of four phases of reopening the economy is set to begin. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. New York Congressman Tom Reed is teaming up with Quest Diagnostics to meet the coronavirus testing requirements established by the governor in order for regions to reopen.
There can be no question that the testing requirements in order to reopen can now be met.
Quest Diagnostics is sending out enough COVID-19 test kits to meet the demands of 3 million people. Dr. Martin Stallone, the CEO of Cayuga Medical Health.
It makes a strong argument for allowing and justifying economic opening.
This is one more piece to the puzzle to reopen parts of New York State that need to get open and can reopen.
That's Dawn Berlew at Corning Incorporated. Now, Quest Diagnostics will be ready to ship out those tests Monday, May the 18th. The governor hopes to slowly start reopening New York on Friday, May 15th. Steuben County Manager Jack Wheeler is confident his county's met the criteria to begin reopening.
All of the data that has been submitted by Steuben, we check all of the boxes, so we look to be in good shape to meet the governor's requirements.
The county has 39 confirmed coronavirus fatalities. New York is spending $25 million to link upstate farmers with downstate food banks. The governor says it's a win-win for both.
It makes no sense to have upstate farmers who can't sell their product and downstate families that can't get enough to eat.
Under his Nourish New York initiative, over 2,000 upstate farms will deliver food to nearly 50 pantries in and around New York City.
The volume of food and product that is not being wasted, that is supporting upstate farms and helping downstate families, is tremendous.
Food banks and pantries have reported a major uptick in demand as more people struggle with a loss of income. Fewer college-bound kids in Pennsylvania are applying for financial aid. Family Life's Terry Diener crunches the numbers for us.
The Pennsylvania Higher Education Assistance Agency says it's received 31,000 fewer applications for financial aid compared to the same time a year ago. Officials speculated some are not applying because their financial situation has changed in the pandemic and some students aren't sure they'll be going to college in the fall. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
All right, Terry, thank you for that. The Air Force preparing to fly over Western New York hospitals next week. It's to honor the frontline workers in the battle against coronavirus.
A formation of U.S. Air Force aircraft will be flying over Western New York hospitals, honoring those working on the front lines against COVID-19. The flyover is scheduled for Tuesday at 11:45 a.m. over the Eastern Niagara Hospital in Lockport. It will continue over hospitals throughout the Buffalo area, including ECMC Buffalo General and Mercy Hospital of Buffalo. The flyover is expected to conclude at 12:12 p.m. over Kenmore Mercy Hospital. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
Should be quite a sight next Tuesday. Thank you, Dee. Will there be an NFL season? They're making plans. Sports is next. It's the two-minute drill with Sonny Delfiette.
Thank you, Bob. In keeping with its plan on playing a full season and starting in September amid the pandemic, the NFL released the 2020 schedule with a three-hour primetime broadcast on the NFL Network. The Kansas City Chiefs will open defense of their Super Bowl championship, hosting the Houston Texans September 10th. In the NFL's annual kickoff game, a rematch of last season's unbelievable comeback, a 51-31 divisional round victory for the Chiefs. Buffalo Bills kick off their 2020 season at home against their division rival, the New York Jets. The New York Giants open their 2020 regular season under the big lights, big blue, hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers week one of Monday Night Football. Philadelphia Eagles will kick off things September 13th at the Washington Redskins, and the Cleveland Browns open their season on the road against the former Browns, the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore 14-2 last year. They only lost twice, once to Cleveland. The NFL will not have a video review for offensive and defensive pass interference going forward, ending that one-year experimentation with the controversial rule without even a single team proposing an extension. Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers open up as an underdog in their Week 1 road game against the New Orleans Saints. Brady has been favored in his past 74 regular season starts. It's the longest such streak in the Super Bowl era. And a match involving Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, as well as NFL stars Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, will contain a $10 million donation for coronavirus relief efforts. Turner Sports, which will televise the match pitting Woods and Manning against Mickelson and Brady at Medalist Golf Club in Florida on May 24th, also announced the event will be a best ball format on the front nine and an alternating shot format for the back nine. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delfia.
Awesome stuff. Thank you, Sonny. Still to come, social distancing at the beach, campaigning in the coronavirus era at its Frosted Flakes for Mother's Day weekend.
Now that surrogacy is normal, all that's left are for the adults to make the financial negotiations. The kids, of course, never have a say. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. A couple weeks ago, a woman had a baby. Now, of course, childbirth happens tens of thousands of times a day in the U.S., but this baby was a product. A couple paid a doctor and an agency to secure the child. The mom's relationship with the child is governed not by biology, but by contract, one with clauses and exceptions and conditions. A man who made no genetic contribution is being called the child's other father, along with Anderson Cooper, a major media celebrity, which is why the baby's birth made national headlines. Cooper is a homosexual man. He and his partner hired a woman to be a surrogate. It's a practice increasingly common in the U.S. When the headlines announced the couple's acquisition, they were universally fawning, as if this story carried none of the extraordinary details that I listed above at all. Anderson Cooper talks first weekend as new dad. Anderson Cooper announces birth of his son, urges people to hold on to moments of joy. None of these articles, in fact, not a single one that I could find in any major publication anywhere, even hinted that there might be any sort of ethical concern with Cooper's purchase. In fact, when author Joyce Carol Oates mentioned on Twitter, after explicitly congratulating Cooper, by the way, that she found it curious the news coverage never even mentioned the hired surrogate at all, she was quickly excoriated. The speed at which our culture has been able to normalize a behavior thought just yesterday to be somewhere between questionable to unthinkable is stunning. To not mention at all that there's any shred of ethical hesitancy around the decision to purchase procreation, particularly by a couple who intentionally chose a sterile union in the first place, well, that's one thing. To gush then over the doting dads as if the way this whole thing happened is quite unremarkable, well, that's something else entirely. After all, culture is often most powerful in our lives where it makes the least amount of commotion. When something's no longer considered debatable and is instead considered assumed, well, now it's been normalized. This story demonstrates that commercial surrogacy, including cases in which the child is intentionally deprived of its mother, is now fully normal. Now, we've repeatedly pointed out the many ethical problems with surrogacy on Breakpoint. It assumes children are a right that God never promised. It assumes a Gnostic view of human bodies and relationships. Children are denied the opportunity to be raised by their biological mom and dad. It treats children as products instead of image bearers. It poses a significant risk for women to be exploited financially. We've also talked about the disastrous consequences of the sexual revolution, especially how sex, marriage, and procreation have been divorced from one another, and how human beings have been devalued based on how they can serve our own sexual desires. Here, in this story, we have a whole new chapter of this. Two men who choose a sexual relationship that doesn't include a uterus still consider entitled to the products of a uterus. And so they hire one, not really the whole woman. After all, the decision makes the woman a mom, but they don't want that part of her. They only want the part that will allow them what they want. But seriously, what about her? Was she, as most women who agree to surrogacy tend to be, lower income? Was she financially pressured? Was it just too great to not be attracted by the payday? Behind Anderson Cooper's money and these headlines is the baby's mom, no matter what we tell ourselves about how willing she was or wasn't or how better off she is now. She's harmed, and so is her son, who somehow knew from the moment he was born to look for her. Unfortunately, he won't find her. Shame on us. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
It's the weekend, Mother's Day weekend. Kevin Williams has weather next.
Here is your family life weather forecast for this afternoon. Generally cloudy skies. There'll be a rain-snow mix moving across parts of Pennsylvania into central New York. A couple of rain and snow showers across western New York. High temperatures, 40s. There'll be the risk of some snow accumulations late today and tonight, particularly over the higher ground of north central, northeastern Pennsylvania, and south central New York. Low temps, 20s and low 30s. Windy and cold tomorrow. Snow flurries, rain showers, and a few snow squalls scattered across the area. 30s and low 40s. Not as harsh Sunday, Mother's Day. Some sun, lots of clouds, and high temperatures, mostly in the 40s.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much for that. This is the Noon Report. It is Friday, the 8th of May. And welcome. welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are, as always, Jason McGuire of New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Jason, this pandemic is hitting during a very important election year. So much at stake in Albany and Washington, yet we've seen virtually no campaigning because of coronavirus. But what impact do you think that will have on the balance of power in not just New York, but who the next occupant of the White House is as well?
Well, certainly it seems that the campaigning as it is has moved digital. And so you're seeing different kinds of efforts from candidates, and it's really targeted. Things are happening in a digital campaign. So that's probably going to be the year of not only the mail-in votes, but the digital campaign. Certainly, President Trump has the advantage when it comes to the digital campaign. And so I think that will prove well for him. Plus, right now, he is controlling the media message through the ability to have the bully pulpit, as it were, speaking to these issues. Similar to what Governor Cuomo, who is not up for election this year, is trying to do in our state. And at lower levels, you'll see candidates doing things like even delivering food or helping out in volunteer projects. That, whether we want to admit it or not, is a form of campaigning right now.
Yeah, the mail-in vote seems to be the wave of the future, Michael. Over a million, or about a million, Pennsylvanians have already mailed in their vote for the June primary. The governor is encouraging them to continue doing this in the COVID era. Is this, I asked Jason this last week, and I'll ask you the same question, is this any way to decide elections, especially important ones like this year?
Well, it raises a lot of questions about how it's done. Now, this is part of a new law that was passed in Pennsylvania before the COVID crisis. People still have to request ballots, so it's not the mail-in voting that some are proposing now where ballots are sent to every registered voter.
Okay.
This, you have to request a ballot. But the challenge is that things happen between the time you actually cast your mail-in ballot and Election Day. Issues come out to the fore, or scandals or whatever, and so that raises questions, but at least it's not the kind of widespread fraud that can come in with the proposals that would mail ballots directly to everybody.
All right. As we talk to you guys, we are right on the precipice of opening that door to getting back to normal in both New York and Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania has begun the process already. New York will next week. Jason, Cuomo's got a 12-point, four-phase, seven-criteria formula for unpausing the state. This crisis has caused some to really look at his unfettered power the governor has here to exert his will and authority over the rest of the state. You hardly ever hear from the health secretary, all these daily press conferences. Is there any way to rein in the authority of the governor when it comes to deciding when the state ultimately comes back?
Well, unfortunately, it's going to take a legislature with some backbone, and that's not something that we have seen in New York in recent years. Essentially, the legislature is ceding its authority to the governor, and he is glad to take it. One of the problems is the governor and the legislature know that the governor is going to have to cut the budget significantly. And so the legislature is staying as far away from possible because in an election year, they do not want to be tied to budget cuts.
Yeah.
Thus, they're turning more and more authority over to the governor.
Yeah, that's interesting. Pennsylvania's comeback plan, as we mentioned, Michael, is underway already. 24 counties have gone to red to yellow on that color-coded comeback plan. And I'll ask you the same question when it comes to checks and balances. Governor Wolf accused of acting unilaterally and maybe even unconstitutionally. There was a state representative who compared what he's doing to something out of the Nazi Germany era. That garnered a lot of headlines. But does there need to be some reining in of the power of the governor in Pennsylvania?
I think there really does. There's a lot of decisions that are being made unilaterally, done in secret. The legislature is looking to subpoena some records from the governor related to the waivers that were granted to some businesses to remain open, and other businesses did not get them, even though they were in the same line of work and had similar facts. Those are the kinds of things that are done in secret. And then, interestingly, the governor has shut down the Open Records Office. There's supposed to be the ability for citizens or lawmakers or others to request records from the government about decisions that are made that impact them. And the governor has just simply, by fiat, shut down that office. And he says, I'm trying to be transparent, but he really is not.
Interesting. Jason, the former governor of New York, George Pataki, calling for an investigation into the current one. He's not alone. Others in the state have said, hey, we need to look at how the administration has handled coronavirus in nursing homes. What are your thoughts?
Well, I thought it was interesting to see that Governor Pataki came out to make that statement so boldly. He really has not had a lot of those types of statements since he left office.
Yeah.
This is a different situation, though. Frankly, this was a decision made by the Cuomo administration that these residents of nursing homes, they had to take in COVID-19 positive people. They were not practicing what I think are safe procedures. It's worthy of investigation. It just shouldn't be done by our state attorney general and by Governor Cuomo. There should be an independent investigation that looks at what really happened here and why so many people died under these policies.
Yeah, let's talk about COVID-19 in the church. There was a ruling in Kentucky where a judge seemed to give a split verdict here, and when it comes to gatherings in church. And Michael, your group has put together a wealth of information on your website. We encourage you, if you're a pastor or a church leader, go to your website. Lots of questions about what it's going to look like when we do come back for the church in Pennsylvania. What are some of those questions that you're getting?
Well, the questions that pastors are asking is, when can we open up again? I mean, there are congregants and pastors, the churches that want to be open and want to have the opportunity to worship together and fellowship together. The question is, you know, what does the government particularly allow? And interestingly, here in Pennsylvania, the governor and the secretary of health have said churches are free to do what they want. We recommend certain things. So the heavy hand of government in terms of threats of legal action have not come against churches, but the guidelines are pretty heavy still. But our church ambassador network, headed by Kurt Weaver on our staff, has been handling lots and lots of calls from pastors to give them some guidance. We even had a call this week with the Pennsylvania Department of Health to give some of that guidance about separation of people, you know, the social distancing that would take place when churches open up, cleaning mechanisms, all of those sorts of things as well.
Yeah, it gives new meaning that quote, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, stay away, I guess is the new normal there.
Yeah.
But Jay, I thought the pastor Jason would find that interesting. The Reverend Jason McGuire, we've talked about the nursing homes, Jason, and the attention that they're getting, but this group is getting overlooked, and you argue that New York needs to stop socially distancing itself from the developmentally disabled. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, essentially, New York has state-run homes for the developmentally disabled, and we're reading reports in both World Magazine and the New York Times that shows that the staff that are working with the residents of these homes aren't even using personal protective equipment, and is putting staff in danger, but it also is spreading COVID-19 among residents. The rate of infection and the death rate is as high in some of these homes as it is in the nursing homes.
Hmm.
And so that's a real concern that, once again, the Cuomo administration is overlooking. So we're trying to get some attention on that and get some help for those that are living in these state-run homes.
Yeah, excellent article on your website, Jason. We'll give that at the end. But a huge Supreme Court case having to do with Pennsylvania. And this group you probably heard of before, the Little Sisters of the Poor, the high court hearing oral arguments remotely this week. Michael, what is at stake here, and why do our listeners need to stay involved with this story?
Well, a couple of things are at stake. Number one is just religious liberty and the sanctity of life, and again, government entity, in this case, the Attorney General of Pennsylvania, trying to force groups like the Little Sisters of the Poor to be complicit in the provision of contraceptive insurance coverage that can include drugs that cause abortions, something that violates their conscience and their religious rights, the First Amendment. The other thing Pennsylvanians need to pay attention is this is Pennsylvania's Attorney General, who is Josh Shapiro, going after the Little Sisters of the Poor. When he announced this lawsuit against the Little Sisters of the Poor and this policy, he did it at a Planned Parenthood abortion clinic. He is as closely tied to Planned Parenthood as our governor, Tom Wolf. And the Pennsylvanians who vote need to recognize that their votes for people who support abortion have ramifications, and pay attention to what happens when they go to the voting booth.
And adding insult to injury, this group doing so much good work on the front lines of this coronavirus pandemic. So praying for a positive outcome there. Folks have questions about the great work going on at New Yorkers. Jason, where can they find you?
AlbanyUpdate.com.
Stay informed in Pennsylvania as well. Michael, your website, sir?
PAFamily.org.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. The show Capital Connection comes your way every Friday during the noon report. You can catch it online as well anytime. Just go to fln.org/podcast.
Good afternoon to all. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The calendar says May. It says Mother's Day weekend, but the weather map says March, even February, as uncommonly cold air combines with a developing storm system to bring some wintry weather to the region. Let's spell things out for this afternoon. Generally cloudy skies. There'll be a rain-snow mix moving across parts of Pennsylvania into central New York. A couple of rain and snow showers across western New York. High temperatures, 40s. There'll be the risk of some snow accumulations late today and tonight, particularly over the higher ground of north central, northeastern Pennsylvania, and south central New York. Maybe a couple 3 inches in the higher spots. Low temps, 20s and low 30s. Windy and cold tomorrow. Variably cloudy. Snow flurries, rain showers, and a few snow squalls scattered across the area. But also some breaks of sun, 30s and low 40s. Not as harsh Sunday, Mother's Day. Some sun, lots of clouds, and high temperatures mostly in the 40s.
All right. Thank you very much, Kevin. Have yourself a wonderful weekend. And finally, at noon from us today, sun, sea, and sections. It's what beaches could look like in the age of social distancing. Check this out. A popular beach town in Spain has created roped-off sections of the beach. Each beach goer gets a 10-by-10 section to call their own. There are specific areas, too, for families, adults, even the elderly. The social distancing experiment would cut beach attendance by half, but this idea is being floated as a possible way to get those beaches open for business in the coronavirus era. And that's the world we live in, Friday, May the 8th. Have a wonderful weekend, won't you? I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.